This is the To The Point podcast. Together with our ERISA attorney, we'll explore key Affordable Care Act and trending compliance topics, all in 15 minutes or less. Now here's our host, Sarah Gillespie.
Thanks for joining us. This is Sarah Gillespie. I'm the compliance director at Lipscomb Pitts. And we again have our co-host with us, Stacey Barrow, our ERISA counsel. Thanks for joining us, Stacey.
Always a pleasure.
So the topic we're going to talk about today is the fixed indemnity health plans and the potential taxability. And this is in regards to a recent IRS memorandum on how to handle these programs. So Stacey, what can you tell us about this? And is it new news or what do we need to know?
Sure. In late January of 2017, the IRS released an Office of Chief Counsel memorandum advising employers on potential issues associated with their fixed indemnity plans. And the memorandum is subregulatory. It cannot be cited as precedent, but it does give you some insight as to how the IRS feels about certain of these types of arrangements. And the memorandum was worded very broadly, but it's pretty clear if you read the entire thing and you read all of the examples, it's really going after a certain type of abusive arrangement that's essentially a tax shelter or a bit of a tax scam that involves kind of this hybrid entity that is part wellness program and part fixed indemnity plan. But the main feature of this arrangement is tax avoidance. An employee makes a large pre-tax contribution to a benefit plan and then has the vast majority of that amount, 95%, 94%, something like that, returned to him as a non-taxable payment, as a claim payment under a self-insured fixed indemnity program. I wouldn't worry too much about the details of this. The marketing materials are often very short on the details, but that's how it works. Usually if you are presented with one of these programs by a vendor you may not be familiar with, it's one of those things where it really sounds a little bit too good to be true. And we all know if something does sound too good to be true, then that's probably the case. Now, back to this memorandum. Again, it was worded very broadly to kind of imply that any time you have a fixed indemnity health plan and you let employees pay pre-tax for that coverage, then any claim payments are going to be includable in the employee's wages. So, you know, when they have a hospital stay and the plan says we're going to pay you $200 per day of hospitalization, if you're paying pre-tax for those benefits, for the premiums, then that $200 in our example would be taxable based on this memorandum. Now, as I mentioned, the memorandum really does seem to be geared toward these abusive, self-insured, fixed indemnity health plans. We think that there are still arguments available that the traditional fixed indemnity plans that really only pay out upon the incurral of a legitimate medical expense would still have those payments excludable from income. And they're not simply making a payment when an employee meets with a health coach or fills out a health risk assessment, which is how these scammy self-insured fixed indemnity programs work. So, these are very complex tax issues. I would just recommend that if you come across one of these plans or someone from your company is talking to a vendor for one of these programs, talk to your account manager or benefit consultant at Lipscomb and Pitts, and they can get in touch with us if need be, and we can review that program and give you some direct tax advice. But long and short of it is, for your traditional, fully insured, fixed indemnity, the legitimate programs, this memorandum may not be you know, kind of geared directly to those programs. And in fact, we've heard the IRS state informally that more guidance on this will be coming. And again, this is just, you know, they're just trying to kind of play whack-a-mole with these arrangements that pop up every time with a little bit of a twist to kind of make them conform to the guidance out there. But again, we don't think that these self-insured fixed indemnity plans work as advertised, and we would strongly recommend, if you're considering them as an employer, talk to ERISA counsel and we can give you direct advice.
So the plans that our groups are most likely going to encounter are going to be the AFLAC, the Colonial, the what we call worksite benefits, where they are paying premium for a hospital reimbursement plan, a cancer plan, something like that, that would have a lump sum payout. So what is your perhaps a general word on those as far as pre-tax contributions and then how the payout is handled?
So this memorandum doesn't really address the cancer policies or the critical illness policies that provide a lump sum payment. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of real good direct guidance that would lead you to believe that those lump sum payments are non-taxable when the premiums are paid pre-tax. But again, when it's a legitimate, fully insured program, this particular guidance doesn't seem to be, you know, again, directly applicable. I think some employers may take a bit of a leap of faith and with the knowledge that the IRS typically is not known for going after cancer sufferers to tax them on benefits received under a critical illness policy, even if contributions are made pre-tax. But again, you know, these really are complex tax issues. They should be discussed directly with counsel after a review of the relevant plan terms.
And we do have access to counsel if you would like to reach out to us. You can do so through our website, lpinsurance.com, or you can reach out to me as the compliance director, Sarah Gillespie, and I would be happy to connect you with Stacy or other resources. Well, thanks so much for that information, Stacy, and thanks for joining us on this podcast. And we hope to have you tune in next time.